Doomsters rejoice. I found another reason to stock up with food and emergency supplies. The bad news comes from those fringe nuts at NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. In late October, NASA announced a new project trying to protect our electrical grid from violent solar storms. It's called Solar Shield. What else? The good news? NASA thinks they might be able to help prevent long-term damage to the American electric system. The bad news? It isn't working yet and might not prevent a serious hit anyway. How serious? This is where I love reading U.S. government reports that never make the mainstream news. The NASA headline is so catchy, quote, "Did you know a solar flare can make your toilet stop working?" Well, that would be really bad. I don't want the sun to screw up my toilet. It gets worse. It turns out NASA paid for a study by the National Academy of Sciences. That came out in January 2009, titled Severe Space Weather Events, Understanding Societal and Economic Impacts. Buried in those charming 132 pages is hair-raising stuff. 130 million Americans could lose power for months or longer from an event they don't know anything about. When it comes to a big hit, Al-Qaeda is nothing compared to the sun. That's the terrorist. Just think about what a prolonged worldwide blackout means. The National Academy did, and it's ugly. They have charts showing how various layers of society stop functioning in pretty short order. Things like satellites, bank machines, gas pumps, television and radio stations, cash registers, furnaces or air conditioners, and oh yeah, the pumps that deliver water to your taps and your toilet. All that could go down the drain for several months, the experts say. I question whether the whole grid or the economy could ever return again following such an event if it should happen.
Around the world, as electricity stops being generated, the modern world comes to a standstill.
As you considered how many buckets of beans you will need to put away, let's get some background. What is this about? Science writer Dr. Tony Phillips has a couple of great articles about this whole issue on the NASA website. I'll be drawing from his work, and you can find links to it in my EcoShock blog for this program at ecoshock.info. You'll also hear a couple of quick clips from a 2006 Discovery Channel disaster special, The Perfect Disaster, Solar Storm.
The next cycle of extreme solar activity is predicted to happen in 2011.
The existence of solar storms is not a new discovery by any means. Back in 1859, British astronomer Richard Carrington happened to be projecting the sun's image on a white screen to study it. He saw a giant eruption from the surface of our star. About 24 hours later, telegraph lines became electrified, some operators were shocked, and papers in telegraph offices caught fire. Dr. Phillips says the bright night light could be seen from Hawaii to the East Coast. In the Rocky Mountains, campers started to make breakfast in the night, thinking that strange glow was morning. It was called the Carrington Event. Remember that, the Carrington Event, because it was probably at least 50% stronger than the solar storm that hit the Earth in May of 1921, and that's kind of a standard used in this report. A co-author of the National Academy report, John Kappenman of Metatech Corporation, calculated the probable damage today if a 1921-sized superstorm hit us. He found two big areas of, quote, probable power system collapse, the Pacific Northwest and the whole east coast of the United States extending to the Midwest like Ohio and Michigan. Power system collapse is not what you want to hear. The story goes like this. We have enlarged our power system by about 10 times since the 1950s. The U.S. has a gigantic network of power lines, as do many modernized nations of the Earth. These grids act like antennae, attracting the electricity from the solar storm. The more power lines and the more equipment, the denser they are, the more likely they will be hit. It isn't just a matter of knocking out electricity for a few hours. The burst of energy goes for the heavy transformers at the core of our system. These monster transformers, many tons each, with all their copper windings and iron, just melt into useless metal when they get hit. I've seen a photo of a big transformer at an American nuclear power plant melted by one of these solar storms. Nobody can repair them on site. New ones have to be manufactured, transported, and installed. They're big and expensive. Many are custom built. It could take months or years to replace them, if we have enough materials at all. And what would happen during a giant blackout worldwide? the likely social collapse. Our current world production capacity for these big transformers is from 70 to 100 of them a year. Tens of thousands of transformers worldwide are at risk. You do the math. A much smaller flare hit the electrical system in Canada's Quebec province in 1989. A satellite photo shows that whole part of Canada in utter darkness. But the hit was small. They recovered in about 9 hours. A Carrington event, as happened in 1859, Kappenman calculated about 350 big transformers would be killed in the United States alone. That would leave around 130 million people without electricity, likely for months, with, quote, water distribution affected within several hours, perishable foods and medications lost in 12 to 24 hours, loss of heating / air conditioning, sewage disposal, phone service, fuel resupply, and so on, end quote. To quote a bit from NASA writer Tony Phillips, a contemporary repetition of the Carrington event would cause extensive social and economic disruptions, the report warns. Power outages would be accompanied by radio blackouts and satellite malfunctions. Telecommunications, GPS navigation, banking and finance, and transportation would all be affected. Some problems would correct themselves with the fading of the storm. Radio and GPS transmissions could come back online fairly quickly. Other problems would be lasting. A burnt-out multi-ton transformer, for instance, can take weeks or months to repair. The total economic impact in the first year alone could reach $2 trillion, some 20 times greater than the costs of a Hurricane Katrina, or, to use a timelier example, a few tarps. End quote. And that's just America. The rest of the world could be plunged into darkness as well.
Not just New York, every major city on Earth. It's going to last for weeks, months, years. No electricity, imagine that. It'd be like winding the clocks back hundreds of years.
On the NASA site, we have a diagram that represents the web of complexity hidden from our view. The caption reads, "A web of interdependencies makes the modern economy especially sensitive to solar storms." Source, Department of Homeland Security. End quote. Experts see arrows of ricocheting damage run from the power system to emergency services, all government functions, from the military to those welfare checks, pensions, payments to workers, that all stops. On the other side, threatened or going down is the whole banking and financial system. No lights, no money, no gas, no phone, no water. For 130 million Americans, possibly for months, the whole world could go into turmoil, with some cities temporarily abandoned, without food or power. The sun has just gone through a decade-long quiet period with hardly any of the sunspots that mark solar storms. Here on Earth, we had less of the northern lights and the southern lights, the impressive colored reflections of solar emissions passing through the upper atmosphere. We don't really know when solar storms will happen. One NASA expert predicts the next storm could hit as soon as 2013. There is already a growing net literature and mythology growing around that year. Mind you, people in both Europe and North America saw a wild aurora borealis light up the night sky on August 3, 2010. In my blog, I've got a link to a Flickr video from NASA of those violent late summer bursts of solar activity this year, vast explosions followed by tentacles of red-hot light reaching far out into space. When these energies pass the Earth, they disturb, distort, and weaken our planet's magnetic field, the same force that points a compass. Normally, this magnetosphere protects the Earth from harmful solar emissions. NASA has learned fairly recently the magnetosphere can be porous. At times it opens up windows which allow extra solar activity to reach the Earth. These may open from minutes to hours, we are not sure yet. It seems part of the natural system. But a big solar flare, a Carrington event, does not need a window. It crashes right through the walls. I feel unqualified to speak about the actual science of what happens near the ground where we live during one of those events. I may look for a guest to explain this further. My crippled understanding goes like this. The energy is also drawn from the Earth. It's attracted by the solar power, just as lightning sometimes emerges from the ground. This energy, not as much a rebound effect as an attraction event, goes for the power lines and transformers, just as sky lightning goes to church steeples or the tallest tree. I may be wrong about that theory. But the NASA experts certainly say this: the more power connections we make, especially large-scale applications with giant power hubs for our cities, the more likely these systems will be hit and destroyed by a solar storm. More irony for you in a universe full of irony. We expect natural disasters to hit the least developed areas like Haiti or Bangladesh. This one, which Discovery Channel calls the perfect disaster, solar storm, goes for the biggest cities with the biggest power grids. Perfect Disaster was a 2006 TV episode. The show predicts the next period of extreme solar events should arrive in 2011. Nobody knows for sure, and you can watch that video in 5 parts on YouTube. It might never happen in our lifetime. Solar storm disasters, well, they've been done to death in many science fiction novels and some really bad movies. Is it just disaster porn? So why is NASA announcing the Solar Shield project? They have the SOHO satellite to photograph the sun's surface, to monitor for CME, the dreaded coronal mass ejection that brightened the world, we think, in 1859. Another aging NASA satellite, the ACE, is being set up to measure the solar storm as it goes by, allowing computers to model where the worst impacts will be. All this might give American ground controllers 20 to 30 minutes, we're not sure how long, to shut down the power grid entirely, to isolate the transformers, to make our cities go dark on purpose. Just now, the major power companies are not yet all on board. The decision to shut down American cities would not be easy. Could it happen at all in time if the Solar Shield project goes ahead? Don't forget, a solar storm is a global event. Every major city could go dark, from Australia through Asia, through the Middle East, through Europe, through North America, South America, China, all of it. Developing countries could take a decade or more to get the power back up, as world transformer production goes to the highest bidder, or to military might. Satellites carrying the entire global communication and financial system may be struck dead. None of this is science fiction. It is science, reality on a small planet near an irregular sun. It's just one more way our overcomplex civilization could crash. Just one more reason why I do have a year's worth of food stored away, why I live near a river, why I know how to grow things, why I question any future that cannot accomplish localization, solar power on every house, decentralization, simplification, frugality, self-sufficiency.
We need to shut down. Just do it.
Roberto Vaca called the crash of complexity the coming dark age. That was back in 1973, and he was wrong then. Now the book is online and updated. Roberto Vaca is waiting. Can we prove him wrong? On Radio EcoShock, we'll continue the exploration of complexity and our utter dependence on fossil power from those past ages. Can we save the climate without a giant economic crash, without a tech blackout or a population crash, without a time of horror? Are we living in a deadly fantasy? Some trust the nightmare will turn into a benign dream after all, and it may. Others fear to wake up. I'm Alex Smith.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.